You'll now open with me in your Bibles first to Genesis chapter 18. We'll be reading Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 15, then 21, verses 1 through 7, and finally Hebrews 11, verses 11 and 12. And really, Genesis 18 and Genesis 21 give us some of the background of Sarah and the promise that God makes to her, the birth of Isaac. And that will help us, I think, as we look at Hebrews chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. So we'll begin our reading in Genesis chapter 18, and we'll read those first 15 verses. Hear now the word of God, Genesis 18 and verse 1. Then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mamre, as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, "My Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. After that you may pass by, inasmuch as you have come to your servant." They said, "Do as you have said." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, "Quickly, make ready three measures of fine meal, knead it and bake cakes." And Abraham ran to the herd and took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree as they ate. Then they said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" So he said, "Here in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, and behold, Sarah your wife shall have a son." Sarah was listening in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being also old?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son.' But Sarah denied it, saying, 'I did not laugh,' for she was afraid. And he said, 'No, but you did laugh.'" So if we turn then over to Genesis 21, we come to the time when the Lord does visit Sarah. And we begin reading in chapter 21, verse 1, "And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, 'God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me.' She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age." And then finally, we'll turn over to Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 11 and 12. And it's interesting because as we read there in Genesis chapter 21, we hear God did exactly as he said he would do. And we see that brought out here in Hebrews 11. We'll just read these two verses, Hebrews 11, 11 and 12. "By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore." Thus far, God's holy word. Let us pray. God, what a testimony to your promises, to your word, to your truthfulness, but a testimony to your power, that you could promise at a set time that something would happen and that you would accomplish it in spite of every human difficulty. Oh, truly, God, we say, is anything too hard for the Lord? And we answer, no, nothing. Nothing is too hard for you. God, give us this faith that believes you, that takes you at your word, that truly can confess nothing is too difficult for you, our God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, as we have been in Hebrews, and particularly Hebrews chapter 11, we've been going through all of these individuals, beginning with Abel and going on through Enoch and Noah, and we came to Abraham, and we looked at Abraham last time. But now, as we continue on with Abraham, we're introduced to Sarah in verse 11. Now remember, Abraham, as we've seen, Abraham believed God. God had called him, go. And I'm not going to tell you where. You go, leave everything you know, go, trust me. Abraham trusted God, and Abraham traveled with his sons, with Isaac and Jacob, as pilgrims. They were in tents. They were constantly putting down and pulling up. And in his life, we're told that he never saw the promise, but he waited for the city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham trusted God. He had no earthly home. Now, we might say that just as he had no earthly home, he also had, and in Sarah included here, no earthly heir. And he said to God, hey, one who is born in my house is going to be my heir. Now we know that, as we'll get to, Sarah decided to try to take matters into her own hands with Hagar and how all that panned out. But there was no, we might put it this way, no earthly home, no earthly heir, and Abraham is old. Sarah is old. Beyond. She's been barren all of her life, but now she's beyond. She's beyond the capacity, humanly speaking, to have a child. So no earthly home, no earthly heir, and no earthly hope. That's the situation that we find Abraham and Sarah in. But here's the reality. Let me put it this way. No earthly home, no earthly heir, no earthly hope, no heavenly problem. Right? That's what we see here. It's no problem for heaven. Because God, why is it no problem? Sarah understood this. She judged him faithful who had promised. We're going to see that her faith was, yes, not always so strong. In fact, she laughed at the beginning and laughed at the end. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Her faith wasn't always so strong. When she heard that, she laughed within herself. But her faith did become strong. In fact, there is no mention of her weak faith here. Something happened to Sarah. Her faith became strong. And by that same faith, we learn here that Sarah became a means of blessing. Because through her, through the seed that she conceived, she bore a child, Isaac, the son of promise. And then through him, that is through one man, that is through Abraham, who was as good as dead, and of course Sarah, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. And what I want you simply to see tonight, this is the thing I want you to know. God always keeps his promises. God always keeps his promises. Sarah understood that. She judged him who promised faithful. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to remember that God always keeps his promises. Now, Sarah's faith wasn't always strong. Here, she is listed in the what we might call the Faith Hall of Fame. But some people may say, well, why? Didn't she laugh when she first heard the promise? Are you sure that Sarah should be here? Well, she's here. And nothing is mentioned of that laughter. But the reality is that even before she laughed, remember, Sarah had tried to help God out. Now, does God need our help? No, he doesn't need our help. But what did she try to do? In fact, look with me at Genesis 16. Now, granted, at this point, God had not revealed that it was through Sarah, but it was through Abraham. So Sarah thought, well, okay. If I can't have a child, then, and God promised Abraham descendants, then we better do something about this. And what we read in the first four verses of Genesis 16, now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. And she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, see now the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her. And Abram heeded the voice of Sarai. Then Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. After Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So he went into Hagar and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. So, you know, if you're familiar with that, we know what happened. We know that eventually, you know, there was this disagreement. Hagar and Ishmael, born to her, leave. And there's a division there, even later on, between Ishmael and Isaac. So she tried to help God, but then later on, as we read earlier, when God comes and God promises to Abraham, she's listening in the tent, that God is going to return in the time of life, which is about the time that it takes for a baby to gestate in the womb, and she will have a child. She laughs within herself. She can't believe it. Her faith is we might say, it's belief mixed with unbelief. I can't believe this is going to happen. Calvin, though, helpfully speaks of this. He says, from this we deduce a useful doctrine, because our faith can often be like her faith was. Belief mixed with unbelief. We hear God's promises, and they sound too good to be true. And then Satan comes in and says, has God really said? And then we start to think, well, I don't know. And maybe we stop praying so strongly. Maybe we tone down our prayers because we don't want to be disappointed. And so we can have this belief mixed with unbelief even in our faith. But Calvin says, here is the useful doctrine. When our faith in some things wavers or halts, it does not cease to be approved of by God. Because ultimately, we who are God's people are not engaging in a spirit. He calls it a spirit of unbelief, rank unbelief. We don't deny God. Sarah, even in her unbelief, she didn't deny that God could do that. She just was thinking, how can that happen to me? She was wavering, but she was not in a complete spirit of unbelief. And so let me say this. Weak faith is not the same as a spirit of unbelief. Just because you have weak faith doesn't mean you don't have true faith. That's what we see here with Sarah. Your faith may be shaken, it may be weakened, and still it can be true faith. It's just weak. So Sarah had this weak faith. She was rebuked by God. God said, you laughed. She said, no, I didn't. Never do that. God says you did something. It's not wise. No, I didn't. She was rebuked. And I think after that rebuke, then Sarah, we see becoming stronger in her faith. That's why here she is listed for us as one who, by faith, because she judged God faithful. Now, when she laughed, was she judging God faithful to do what he said he was going to do? Well, not as much. But somewhere in there, after this rebuke by God, she began to believe. She began to judge God as faithful, that he would do what he said that he would do. And by faith, we are told, she received strength to conceive seed. So Sarah's faith wasn't always so strong, but it became strong. Now, how is it that Sarah's faith became strong? Let's think about that. It's the second thing I want to look at. First, her faith wasn't always so strong. Second, it became strong. She stopped looking at her circumstances. That was her problem. What was she doing before when she laughed? She was looking around. She was thinking, well, I'm old. I'm past childbearing age. And not only that, I've been barren all my life. It's not as if she had given birth to children and now maybe she would have one more. She had never had a child. So to her, this was beyond possible. She did not have the natural ability to have a baby, nor had she ever had the natural ability to have a baby. Now know this. It doesn't matter how old you are. Every baby that is born is because God willed it to be so. Don't ever think, well, I'm young, so I can have a baby. You should say, if the Lord wills, he's the one who opens and closes the womb. And that doesn't matter if you're 25, or in Sarah's case, 90. God still has the power to do it. Now, she stopped looking at her circumstances, and she started listening to her God. This is so important. I want you to get this. Because if you want to grow in faith, you need to stop looking at your circumstances, whatever they are, and you need to start listening to God. That's how you get to the place. Remember, Abraham was one who, contrary to hope, hoped. Contrary to earthly hope, that is looking around at what is going on, he hoped because he listened to God instead of looking at his circumstances. Now, if Sarah would have kept looking at her circumstances, what would she have seen? I'm old, I'm barren, I'm beyond childbearing age. But she started listening to God. She remembered God's word. What had God said? I will come in the appointed time of life, and Sarah will have a child. That's what God said. That was the promise he made. And we're told here in the text that Sarah judged him faithful who had promised. Now, what Sarah had to do first is hear God's word. Faith always begins, that's what Romans 10 says, faith comes by hearing. So the first thing that Sarah did was she heard God's word. Even when she first heard it, even though it was mixed with unbelief, she still heard God's word. What does Jesus say? My sheep hear my voice. You cannot have faith apart from the word. Faith comes by hearing. It's not only initial faith, but ongoing faith. We're learning about that in our catechism class. We talk about the keys of the kingdom. One of the first keys of the kingdom, there are two, is the preaching of the Holy Gospel. It is by the preaching of the Holy Gospel that the kingdom is open to believers. Because they hear the word of God, they hear Christ speaking, they believe, and then, by believing, are saved. But it's by the same preaching of the Holy Gospel, the preaching of the word, that faith increases. So all things being equal, you want to increase, you want to have your faith strengthened, be hearing the word of God. Sarah heard the word of God, and she rested upon his word. Notice here it says in the text, she judged him faithful. She made a judgment about God's word. And she said, God's word is true. But why is it? Well, of course, the Spirit worked in her as he does. No one is going to say God's word is true unless the Spirit opens our eyes and our ears to do so. But she did. She heard and she rested upon God's word. She understood what the psalmist says. The word of the Lord is settled. I love that. It is settled in the heavens. It is fixed. It is written in ink and it is not an erasable pen. It is sure. It is steadfast. She heard the word, she rested upon the word, but why is it that she judged his word, his promise, as one that would come to pass? Because look at the text. What does it say in verse 11? She judged him faithful. So it's not only that we hear God's word, it's not only that we rest upon it, but we understand who it is that is speaking. We trust in God's character. She judged him faithful who was speaking. She judged him faithful who had made the promise. I love what Paul says in Romans 3:4. Let God be true, but every man a liar. Yes, and amen. Let God be true and every man a liar. I don't care what man says because I know what God has said. That is the faith that she had. And she relied upon God's power. We're told here that she herself received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child. This was not a human thing. Yes, God used human means, but God brought this about. She received supernatural strength from God so that she could get pregnant and have Isaac. And I love that. What is it that God says to her? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? We read that earlier. That's what I put before you. When you are struggling to believe what God has promised in His Word, remember that challenge. Is anything? Now that's all encompassing. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? And the answer is absolutely not. There is nothing that is too difficult for the Lord. In fact, it was certainly not difficult for God to bring about the birth of Isaac through Sarah. Even though she had been barren all of her life, even though she was so old. Think of the words of John the Baptist recorded for us in Matthew 3:9. He's speaking to those who are coming to him to be baptized. And he says, do you think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father? He says, for I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. God has power, doesn't he? And if God could raise up children of Abraham from stones, bringing them about through a barren 90-year-old woman is really no problem. And Sarah believed that he could do this. With God, all things are possible. Now, I love this. In fact, if we think about, I'm not going to have you turn there, but if we think about what we read earlier in Genesis 18 and verse 6, there we're told that Sarai laughed within herself. But we read in 21 and verse 6 that God had brought her laughter, and all who see her will laugh. And Isaac, the name, even means laughter. Isn't it interesting that faith mixed with unbelief brought an internal laughter? But God, in the end, brought about a greater laughter that came out of her because she believed. She acknowledged that he was faithful. He would do what he said he was going to do. And in that way, Sarah is an example for us of faith. And Sarah's faith, in becoming strong, then enabled her by faith to become a means of blessing. We already talked about that she received strength, physical strength, to be a means of blessing. But then she also became the means of a temporal blessing, an earthly blessing, the nation of Israel. It was promised to Abraham. God promised to Abraham that he would make his descendants as the stars of the sky, as the sand of the seashore. I would not want to try to count the stars. I certainly wouldn't want to have the job of counting sand at the seashore. But that's the promise. As numerous as the stars, as numerous as the sand of the seashore, so your descendants will be. This is promised in Genesis 15:5, again in 22:17. Isaac receives the promise. It's reiterated to him in Genesis 26:4. And Jacob in Genesis 32:12. This was fulfilled in an earthly perspective after Egypt. God brought his people out of Egypt. And we read in Deuteronomy 1 verse 10, the Lord your God has multiplied you, and here you are today as the stars of heaven in multitude. And again, in Deuteronomy 10:22, your fathers went down to Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord your God has made you as the stars of heaven in multitude. God kept his word. He told Abraham, your descendants will be a great multitude. But that wasn't the end of the story. God's plan was not going to culminate with an earthly nation or an earthly people, but a spiritual people, what Scripture calls true Israel. There was a spiritual blessing that was promised through Abraham. In fact, it was promised not through, as Paul says, seeds in the plural, but seed. Galatians 3:16, Paul says, now to Abraham and his seed, singular, were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed who is Christ. To put it this way, Abraham was one man, and through Abraham and Sarah came Isaac and Jacob and came a multitude. And then out of this multitude came one man, Christ, through whom a multitude will come. And if you are in him, you are included in that multitude. That's what Paul is saying. And that is fulfilled now for us who are in Christ. In fact, Paul in Galatians 7, earlier in Galatians chapter 3, verse 7, says, only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. It's a pretty bold statement. There are many who are confused about who God's people are. But I think it's pretty clear. Only those who are of faith, that is, faith in Christ, are sons of Abraham. He goes on in Galatians 3:29 to say, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. In Romans 4:16, Paul says, Abraham is the father of us all. But interestingly, back in Galatians, Paul ties in Sarah. He says, talking about Hagar and Sarah, he says that believers are not children of the bondwoman, that is of Hagar, but of the free. So we as Christians in Christ can actually confess with the prophet Isaiah. Prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 51:1-2 says this, look to the rock from which you were hewn and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father and to Sarah who bore you. You see, all of this was culminating through Christ in a people, not an earthly people. Yes, there was the sign of the earthly nation of Israel. But ultimately, God's plan was much bigger to include not only Jews, but also Gentiles. And if you are trusting in Christ, then guess what? You're included in that number. You can say, Abraham is my father. Sarah is my mother. I am a child that has come through Christ and as such, I am one who is inheriting all the promises that were promised to Abraham. Because Abraham received the promises by what? Faith. In the same way you and I received the promises from God. So interesting, isn't it? Again, from one man, Abraham, came a multitude. And from that multitude came one man, Jesus Christ. And from that one man came a multitude. And God is still in the business of producing very unlikely births. Think about this. In fact, the Bible, we might say, as we think about what we're speaking of here, is Sarah giving birth in her old age. We might say that the Bible itself, in one sense, is a story of unlikely births. Over and over, we see people getting pregnant and having children who, humanly speaking, ought not to be. We see that in Sarah, don't we? We see that in Hannah. We see that in Elizabeth. And finally, the most unlikely birth in the world, Jesus Christ, born of a virgin. In fact, we might say that every other birth was just a picture leading up to the most unlikely birth the world will ever know, the birth of Jesus Christ to Mary. We confess that, born of a virgin. But again, Jesus is still in the business of producing unlikely births. I'm standing before you as one. Trust me. I've been born again. Praise God for that. But I was not a likely candidate. But God worked in me to bring about new life. And I pray that He's done that in you. Because if He has, then you can testify with Sarah, He who promised is faithful. You have been given the gift of true faith, which, as the Catechism says, is not only a sure knowledge by which I hold for truth all that God has revealed in His Word. It is that we hear God speaking to us as His sheep, but it is also a hearty trust that not only to others, but to me also. To me also. Forgiveness of sins, everlasting life, and salvation are freely given merely of grace and only for the sake of Christ's merits. That is the faith that God calls us to. And that's the faith that Abraham and Sarah had. They believed Him. Contrary to hope, in hope, they believed Him. You know, Abraham, no earthly home, no heavenly problem. He was looking for a city whose foundations and maker, God. Sarah, no earthly heir. Both of them, no earthly hope, no heavenly problem. Why? Because God said it would happen. God keeps His promises. Always. Every time. And here's the beautiful thing. Guess what? God's fulfillment of His word does not depend on our faith. God didn't say, well, Sarah, you laughed. Guess you're not going to have a child. If only you would have had a little more faith. God's word stands. It's not dependent on the strength of our faith. In fact, it's not the strength of our faith, but it's the object of our faith. You see, Sarah did not have a perfect faith, but she placed her faith in the perfect one. That's what she did. That's what we read here. She judged him faithful who had promised. She heard God speaking. She rested on his word. She trusted in his character. She relied upon his power. And guess what? Sarah gave birth at 90 to Isaac. That happened. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No, it is not. Will God ever fail to keep his promises? No, he will not. And here's the beautiful thing. If you are trusting in Christ, then you have seen the fulfillment of God's promise to his people in your own life. In fact, the fulfillment of the greatest promise. What does God promise? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It's a promise of all promises, isn't it? If we believe that promise, if we believe what Paul says in Romans, if he has done that, if he did not spare his own son, how will he not with him also freely give us all things? That is the promise. If we believe that promise and understand it, that is the key that unlocks every other promise. And so know this. If you are in Christ, you are Abraham's son or daughter. You are Sarah's son or daughter. You are heirs according to the promise. Their God is your God. And you can trust him just as they did to keep his word. And so I encourage you and I call upon you to judge him who promised faithful. Because is there anything too hard for the Lord? Absolutely not. Amen. Let us pray. God, give us this faith to know that there is nothing too hard for you. To trust that when you say it, even if it's contrary to hope, that we would believe it. And live in hope, knowing that our circumstances do not dictate reality, but your promises do. I pray that you will increase our faith and give us this faith as was demonstrated by Sarah. And that in doing so, God, you will continue to conform us more and more into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.